Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Thank you so much, Diane. That was such good reminders in there. And happy Father's Day to all you dads. Today is your day. It's where you get to put your feet up, where you get to relax a bit. Enjoy that rare honour of not being moaned at when you nod off on the sofa. Stephen, I'll not give you a prod tonight, I promise. And you might also get control of the TV remote, you never know. Well, that might be until the Wi-Fi goes off, or maybe your children need a lift somewhere. That's what often happens at our house. And maybe something needs fixed, and then you're going to hear that shout that goes, Dad! But all good. Happy Father's Day. But let's just pray before we get stuck in. Lord God and Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all the dads and all the father figures here that we have in Found Church. I just ask that you'll bless them, Lord. And Father, as I speak the word that you've placed in my heart, Lord, I pray that I'll communicate that just the way that you would have it heard by everyone here. So just give you this time for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But today we're celebrating something a little bit deeper than just the dad jokes or the good barbecuing skills. We're celebrating a legacy, the quiet everyday ways that our fathers shape us, what they build up in us each and every single day, and what they leave behind. And I know that my dad has modelled many things and instilled many things in me over the years. The importance of a good work ethic, resilience, reliability, just to name a few things. And he's passed down plenty of wisdom over the years. And some of that wisdom I have gratefully embraced. And if I'm being really honest, there's other bits that I've just stubbornly ignored. But that's the true nature of inheritance, isn't it? It's not just passed down, but it's what we choose to do with it. And at some point, most parents will ask themselves, what will I leave behind? A house? Some money? My dad probably wonders who's going to make good use of all the nails and screws that he's collected over the years and stored them with great care with labels. But we have an ongoing joke in our family about who's going to inherit some really ugly ornaments. My mum inherited these really unusual Wally dog figurines from her parents. They sat on my granny's mantelpiece for as long as I can remember, and she was very, very fond of them, and they hold a real sentimental value to my mum. Now, they're not the usual kind of spaniel-type Wally Dog figurines. They are grey, and to me, they look more like angry pugs. In my opinion, they are very, very ugly, and they have these glass eyes that kind of follow you around the room. They're not nice. However, my mum and dad really like them, and they think they're quite unusual, quite quirky, and they sit proudly on their mantelpiece. In contrast, though, my brother and I hate them, and we wouldn't give them house room. But my parents over the years have tried to convince us that they might be worth something. They think they might be quite unique Bowness pottery. And they think because I work in Bowness that that would make them more attractive, but they don't. And they also think that maybe those Wally Dugs could give us the Antiques Roadshow moment of fame some point in the future. But Stuart and I have made it clear that we do not want them. This is not an inheritance that we desire. But just in case you're worrying about what might happen to them in the future, fortunately, Charlotte thinks they're quite nice. So when the time comes, they can bless her mantelpiece. She has claimed her inheritance. And years ago, I used to love watching, I don't know if any of you like this program too, but it was called Air Hunters. I don't know if anybody else watched it, but the show followed probate detectives who searched for missing or unknown heirs. People who were entitled to an estate of someone who had passed away, but they hadn't left a will. So before the Treasury lawfully collected the money, these detectives would come and find if there was someone who belonged to it. The level of research that they did was phenomenal. The stories of the deceased and often the surprise of the heirs they tracked down was quite emotional to watch. And it was often life-changing for recipients. And I used to imagine, what would that be like to hear a chap on the door one day telling you that you had inherited a fortune from family that you didn't even know existed? How would that change your life and what would you do with it? Well, this morning I'm here to chap at your door. And I'm here to let you know that you have an inheritance coming. And it's one that if it hasn't already done so, it's going to change your world. Now, I'm not talking about an estate in the Scottish Highlands or a retirement fund with so many zeros that you don't know if it reads millions or zillions. I'm talking about something far greater, something eternal, something spiritual. I am talking about the inheritance that comes from being a child of God. And I should have mentioned earlier, if you want to follow along, there are notes in YouVersion in the usual place. But how do I know that you have an inheritance? Well, like the Sunday school chorus says, the Bible tells me so. Acts 20, verse 32, Paul writes, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, this is a powerful and a profound verse in which the Apostle Paul speaks to the leaders of the church in Ephesus, offering them one of the most precious gifts that he could give. In this moment, Paul is essentially passing the baton to the leaders, knowing that his time with them was limited. But rather than offering material gifts, practical plans or strategies, he gives them something far more lasting. He commits them to God and to his word. And Paul's word reflects a deep understanding of what truly sustains the church and its leaders. He didn't leave them with silver or with gold, which are temporary and can also fade away. He didn't give them blueprints for church growth or elaborate organisational structures. Instead, he gave them the best thing he could, God himself and the word of his grace. And this was not just a farewell message. It was a reminder of the foundation upon which the church would stand and grow, God's word. Paul knew that the word of God has the power to build up the church, to strengthen it, and to equip it for the challenges ahead. The word of God, Paul understood, is not just an ancient text, but a living, active, and transformative force. It has the power to equip us for every good work, to guide us in his godliness, and to empower us to live lives that honour God. More than that, the word of God points to the grace of God, which is the very foundation of our salvation and our ongoing sanctification. Paul mentions that the word of God can give an inheritance to those who are sanctified. And this inheritance is not something that we earn by our works or our status. It's a gift from God for those who belong to him. It is the promise of eternal life and fellowship with God. It is the hope of glory that sustains us Christians through trials and sufferings. This inheritance is given to those who are sanctified, meaning those who are set apart by God for his purposes, who have been made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus. But let's just pause here and ask, what is an inheritance really? Well, an inheritance of what you have received because you are part of a family. It's not something that you earn. It's not something that you're given. It comes through relationship and not performance. You see, my parents want to give me these really ugly ornaments because I am their daughter whom they love. It's not because I passed my exams or I got a good job or I helped them with some chores. They want to give me those ornaments because they're prized possession because they love me.
because I matter to them. And when someone leaves you an inheritance, it's because you were in their thoughts, you were in their hearts, and you matter. And God wants to give you an inheritance because he loves you very, very much, and you matter to him. Now imagine this. Suppose someone that you loved passed away, and they left you a will. And in that will, there was details that you were going to inherit everything you could ever need. Land, money, instructions, wisdom. But you never, ever open that document. You never, ever read it. It's just sat there. It's sealed. It's gathering dust. You never open it, and you carry on living your life as if you had nothing. You struggle. Well, that would be quite foolish, wouldn't it? It would seem ridiculous. And yet, how many of us Christians walk through life unaware of the full inheritance God has already given us in Christ, because we rarely engage with his word. We claim to be children of God, but we live like orphans because we don't access what is rightfully ours. So let's not leave our inheritance unopened. Let me say quite plainly, if your Bible goes unopened, your inheritance goes unclaimed. So reading scripture is vital to our intimacy with God. God's word is our weapon. It's active, it's alive. It tells us in Hebrews 4:12, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. We have an enemy, and the last thing he wants us to do is trust God and in his word. God gave us his word so that we could know the truth, so that we could be set free. And I'm acutely aware that days like Father's Day can stir up a mixture of emotions in different people for different reasons, and, you know, we've all had different experiences. But let me remind you today that when you became a Christian, you didn't just become a believer, you became a belonger. You became a member of God's family. And I love being here in Found Church with my godly family. It's just amazing. Being a member of God's family means two things. The first thing is that we have access to family privileges. There are opportunities, there are benefits, there are advantages and codes that are automatic when we become a child of God. Family privilege is knowing the rules without asking. And as a child of God, we are no longer a slave, we're no longer a stranger, and we are no longer without hope. We have assurance that we are a son and daughter, an heir and a co-heir with Christ. Romans 8, verses 16 to 17 says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." So this includes forgiveness, no matter our past, purpose, no matter our confusion, strength, no matter our weakness, hope, no matter our pain, and eternal life, no matter our mortality. The second thing is that we have a spiritual inheritance to live out and to pass on. Now, we might not have millions in the bank or a beautiful house on a hill, but if we are in Christ, we have something so much more powerful and greater to give the people that we love, a godly legacy, a legacy of character, faith, and devotion. Billy Graham once said that the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money, but rather a legacy of character and faith. Now, if we go back to Acts 20, verse 32, the word of grace which can build you up and give you an inheritance. God's word is described as the word of his grace, and that's really important. The Bible isn't just a book of rules and outdated stories. It's a message of grace, a message of redemption, and a message of hope. It is grace-filled, life-giving and utterly relevant. And it is as relevant today as it's ever been. So what does God's word do? Well, Paul says it builds you up. God's word strengthens our very foundation. You see, every life is built on something. Some people build on money, some people build on fame, some people build on their family. But when the storms come, and I'm sure we all know that the storms absolutely do come, that the only foundation that lasts is the one built on God's word. Matthew 7 verse 24 said, Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. We are building something every day. Whether we realize it or not, we're laying bricks in the foundation of our future and the future of others. God's word gives us the strength, the wisdom, and the blueprint that we need. God's word gives us strength and a firm foundation. God's word equips us for our purpose. 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 to 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I really like the way that Rick Warren explains this. I feel like he breaks it down in a really simple way. So teaching is showing us the path. Rebuking shows us when we're off that path. Correcting shows us how to get back on the path. And training shows us how to stay on the path. This is how we grow, and this is how we claim our inheritance. It's not by osmosis or wishful thinking, it's through intentionality, through daily engagement with God's word. So why then do many of us never access this great inheritance? Why do so many of us live like spiritual paupers? And the answer is really simple. We never read that will, that legal document that was left for each one of us. God's word is like that will. It declares what belongs to us in Christ. It lays out our rights, responsibilities, and our resources. Yet many of us treat it like fine china. You know, that kind of wedding china stuff that lots of people have. We store it away in a sideboard. It's unused. It's for decoration or for very special occasions. But even on that special occasion, you hover over the person holding the cup and you're willing them not to drop it or crack it or spoil it. It's not enjoyed. But the Bible isn't a decoration that we're to keep on a shelf. It's a declaration of who we are and what we have been given. It tells us what belongs to us, who we belong to, and what we are called to build. If our Bible is unopened, then our inheritance goes unclaimed, and that is the simple truth. Imagine having full access to peace beyond understanding, a joy that cannot be stolen, strength in trials, guidance in our decisions, confidence in our identity, but never, ever accessing it. This is what many of us do when we neglect the word of God. So let's not be neglectful. Let's enjoy the fullness of that inheritance. Have you ever, ever thought that we should not just be consumers of God's grace, but we should also be channels of God's grace? We are also the guardians of spiritual inheritance. What we receive, we're also called to pass on. And Psalm 78, verses 4 to 6 says, we will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. Our legacy is not just what we do, it's what we leave behind. Not only in a legal will, but in wisdom, in our worship, and in our witness. So that being the case, we should take on the challenge to leave a legacy of the word. You don't need a lectern to be able to preach. Why don't you let your life tell the story? Let others, your family, your neighbours, your friends, your colleagues, catch you reading the Bible. Let others hear it speak its truth. Let them see how it shapes our decisions in our life. And let them hear us declare God's promises over situations. I read a quote once and it really made me smile as well as challenge me. It says, a Bible that's worn out usually belongs to someone who isn't. So let us intentionally model a life built on Scripture. That's an inheritance that the treasury cannot touch. Can we leave a legacy of grace? Are we quick to forgive? Slow to anger? Are we generous with our love and our time? Can we show those around us that grace isn't just a rule, but it's a lifestyle? Do we consistently extend kindness, forgiveness, and compassion to others regardless of their actions or their perceived worthiness? Do we reflect the character of God and leave a positive, lasting impact on those around us? Wouldn't it also be great to leave a legacy of faith? Let's openly tell others what God has done in our lives. Let's share our answered prayers. Let others know the valleys that we've come through. And just think of it, your testimony could be part of their inheritance. Stephen and I are both first generation born again Christians. My childhood experiences were probably more of religion rather than a living faith and a relationship with Jesus. And I've certainly witnessed, and I'm still witnessing, my parents go through the trials of life. But sadly, God's not spoken about in those situations. So we've never really had that modelled to us growing up, that in that context, that how you turn to God in the valleys and the mountains of life. But we are so, so thankful that our church family, Christians that we have done life with over the years, have shown us just how to do that. People who've shared their testimonies, they've modelled how to pray, how they've declared the word of God over situations and been steadfast in their faith. And you know, this has really encouraged us, it's shaped us, and it's inspired us. So never ever think that you have nothing to share with others. There's real power in your testimony. You don't know what the people around about you have experienced or are experiencing. Even when we feel a bit shy or often, I know I do, worry what others might think, no one can argue or disagree with your personal story. Your story may be the breakthrough that someone else is waiting for. So just as there are processes and procedures for claiming an earthly inheritance, how do we claim our spiritual inheritance? What is it that we need to do? Well, the first one's simple. Open the Word of God daily. Don't wait for Sundays. You know, Sundays are great, and for me, they're really impactful, but they only go so far. Make the Bible part of your daily rhythm. Even 10 minutes a day can begin to change the way that we think and live. You could start with the Gospels, read a proverb a day, maybe journal, pray the Psalms, or study together with family or friends. I really love that YouVersion offer that function where you can share a devotion with family or friends. And Stephen and I's daily rhythms, especially during term time, are very different. And this is a great way to study the Word together without being in the same room at the same time. Although studying together in the same room at the same time is also very good. But the important thing is not how much, but how consistently. It's not just about getting a tick on your Bible plan, but it's about gaining something from it. It's that age-old quality, not quantity thing. Sorry, I was just checking. I thought I was going to get that around the wrong way. The second thing that we need to do is to walk in our identity. We need to stop living like spiritual beggars. You are a child of the King. In fact, turn to the person beside you and tell them on no uncertain terms that they are a child of the King. And just in case they're not convinced, turn to the person behind you and tell them that they are a child of the King. And I'm so sorry to our sound and media team who have nobody behind them. But you guys, you are definitely children of the King. You are chosen. You are forgiven. You are adopted. You are redeemed. And we need to remind ourselves of that each and every day. Because the world around us wants to give us so many other words to speak over ourselves. And we've got to bat them away. We've got to remember that we are chosen, we are forgiven, we are adopted, and we are redeemed. And we have to live with confidence. Now, that doesn't mean arrogance, but a holy boldness. Our identity is our anchor in a world which can often seem full of comparisons and lies of who we need to be. The third part of the process is to pass it on. Don't let spiritual inheritance stop with you. Share it. Teach the people in your life. Perhaps mentor someone younger in age or younger in faith. And if you have them, bless your children or your grandchildren. The saying is true. If you don't intentionally pass down your faith, the world will gladly pass something else to your children. And you can apply that not just to your children, but to anyone in your world. And as I begin to wrap up and the band can come, just let me close where we began. Acts 20 verse 32 says, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So this is our inheritance, a life built on the unshakable word, a legacy anchored in grace, a calling to raise up the next generation. So let's not settle for being remembered. Let's be followed. Let the important people in our world say, I want to know God like they do. I want to walk in the word like they do. I want that inheritance too. I want to know God like Stephen, June, Colin. I want to walk in the word like Willie, Anne, Keith. And put your own name into that sentence. I want that inheritance.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.